You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. Good evening, folks. I don't know where to start. This last few days has been quite an experience for me because so much, and I really mean so much, is going on right here. I mean right here. That I'm trying to bring to fruition, that I've just found myself overwhelmed, you know, trying to get all these websites in the condition that they're supposed to be, and it's very difficult. And you know, Spencer was supposed to start doing the regular website, and I've seen hide nor hair of him. I don't know what the hell he's doing, but he's not doing anything. Ken, as usual, has been carrying the ball. And I've been trying to fill in wherever I can, whenever I can see to do it, because I still can't see properly. My other functions are improving rapidly. And there are times when my right eye will cooperate with what my brain wants it to do, and there's other times when it just absolutely won't do that, and I just can't function in any capacity where I have to have the full use of my eyes. It just doesn't work. Now, you all know me. You've known me for years. You know how hard that is for me to even say, to admit, much less say, and there, you know, I've been doing that lately. And so I'm sort of at the mercy of my health. And while my overall health is getting better, my eyes are not cooperating very well, or very much. And so I'm reminded of some of our long listener friends who are, and I hate to fall into this, and I'm not going to do it, this politically correct vocabulary of sight impaired or some bullshit like that. They're blind, okay? They're blind. They know they're blind. I know they're blind. You know they're blind. And if you see them walking down the street, you know they're blind. So what is all this, you know, you can't say they're blind because it might hurt their feelings? I don't think so. They know they're blind. What's the difference between saying they're vision impaired or they're blind? They're blind. They're blind. They can't see. I just hate this politically correct nonsense. It's the most unbelievable bullshit, deception, crap, you know, victimization stuff that I've ever seen in my life. I got a package today from an old friend who's blind. He knows he's blind. He doesn't mind admitting it. He doesn't care whether you call him vision impaired or blind. In fact, he would probably admit that vision impaired is not something that's high up on his list. He really, you know, doesn't go overboard for that. But if you were to call him vision impaired, neither would he be insulted. He's probably one of the longest listeners to the Hour of the Time. He's made probably more contributions to this broadcast than probably, and I'm talking about on air time, during call-in time, than any other listener out there. And I'm talking about when he had the ability to call he called and made contributions. Whether or not I agreed with him doesn't make any difference, because that's not the purpose of the broad. You don't have to agree with me. You just have to be polite, intelligent, and be able to support your argument. And there's times when he's supported his argument admirably, and there's been times when he's won his argument. There's been times when he's contributed and agreed with the argument that I've put forth, or that other listeners to this broadcast, callers, if you will, have put forth. And there's been times when he and I have vehemently disagreed, but we have always disagreed on a pleasant note, because we know how to disagree. We don't take it personal, and we don't get into a fight. We disagree upon the facts. And where we may enter into a dialogue, a discussion, a conversation, if you will, and we both put forth our argument, when it comes time to understand that he's not going to give and I'm not going to give, we don't get angry with each other. We don't call each other names. We don't enter into this did not, you know, because when you reach that point of an argument where you understand that you're not going to agree, then that's where it's got to stop. And that's where we have stopped it. Well, Jeffrey Dyckett of New Orleans is probably, to my knowledge, if not the oldest listener to this broadcast and contributor, and maybe the most single individual contributor to this broadcast, he is certainly very, very close to it. And today I got a big surprise in the mail. He sent me a 16-tape, and I'm talking about 16-tape, both sides of each tape, series of lectures given by some, and I'm not going to tell you who it was given by. I'm going to listen to all these tapes, and if it's really good stuff, then you'll hear parts of it on the Hour of the Time. I will credit the individual who gave those lectures, and I'll tell you where to get that series of tapes. But I did listen to one of them, and it was very, very good, really good. And so I'm looking forward to listening to the whole thing, but if it's 16 tapes, and if each side is a half an hour, we're talking about 16 hours. If each side is 45 minutes, we're talking about 24 hours of listening to tapes. And, you know, if they're good tapes, I will listen to them, but it may be a long time before you hear the results of it. But anyway, I want to thank Jeffrey on the air, because he is, to my knowledge, the oldest listener and contributor to this broadcast. And where we may not have always agreed on issues, Jeffrey's always been polite, intelligent. He's always known when to call it quits. And he has fielded his arguments admirably. And believe it or not, folks, we've agreed on most of the issues that he's ever called in about. We have disagreed on minor issues on some of the things he's called in about, and on a couple of things he's called in about, we have absolutely, totally been unable to even reach any plane where we could call, where we could say that we had some kind of an agreement. But that doesn't matter. It's not what this broadcast is all about. This broadcast is about truth. And I've always broadcast to you truth, documented and sourced, and attempted to instill in you the desire to always seek or, if you will, mount a quest for the truth and not be satisfied until you reach it. Which means listen to everybody, read everything, believe absolutely no one, and no thing, unless you can prove it in your own research. But I want to read you this letter from Jeffrey. Jeffrey and I are friends, by the way. Even when we disagree, we are friends. There's nothing better, believe me, folks, there's nothing better than having the opportunity to discuss and argue civilly with intelligent people your ideas and conclusions about life, about science, about the world, about religion, about all of those things. And I found that I've been able to find those people throughout my life. I seek them out, you see. And there's nothing better than a winter's night, a fireplace with a roaring fire, a wonderful wine, or maybe a scotch. And nobody has to drive, because you don't want anybody to drive when they're drinking. But it sort of loosens the tongue. It opens the mind. It allows people who are shy and would not otherwise venture an opinion to be able to open up and discuss deep philosophical subjects that they would never dream of even discussing ever before in their life with their closest friends. They can do that with me. And I love it. And it's wonderful when people understand what an argument is. An argument is simply putting forth the evidence in support of your idea or theory, if you will. And a theory must be a conclusion based upon facts. So all of these things you hear about, and ain't no such thing as a conspiracy theory. Bullshit. You see, there could not be a conspiracy theory unless the theory had facts backing up the conclusion. And that's what science is. All science, everything that exists in science began as a theory. A theory is a preliminary conclusion based upon a whole bunch of facts leading to that conclusion and to none other. So, one of these days we will publish a videotape of a lecture given by Michelle Marie Moore at one of our training sessions, at one of our conventions, whatever you want to call it, where she put that forth admirably, much better than anyone I've ever seen. So anyway, I want to read this letter from Jeffrey Dykett, who's been a longtime contributor, longtime, very good friend, sometimes devil's advocate, sometimes a proponent, sometimes theoretical opposition, whatever you want to call it. We all owe him a respect that is due to arguably the oldest contributor and listener to the Hour of the Time. He may not be the oldest listener, but in the absence of proof of somebody else having been an older listener, I have to say that Jeffrey fits the bill. Also, I don't know anybody who's been a steady listener and a steady caller and a steady contributor other than Jeffrey Dykett in New Orleans, Louisiana. Anyway, here's his letter. Dear sir, the enclosed tape set of lectures contains the documentation of atrocities committed by the British troops in the Revolutionary War, not the War of Independence, as the lecturer refers to the conflict. Please note his own bias for interpretation, especially of Roger Williams. He gives an address for printed materials which accompanied this set, but which I gave my brother a few years ago before I had my present computer, which enables me to read print directly. Thank you very much. Toward Liberty, Jeffrey Dykett. Thank you, Jeffrey. I look forward to listening. I listened to one tape today. It was incredibly well done, incredibly well researched. If the rest of the series is up to par with that tape, then we've truly received a treasure from you. And if it turns out to be that treasure, then all of you will be hearing snippets of it on the Hour of the Time. Because doesn't have to be any other explanation. So, tonight, I want to get into something that I just, you know, just bothers me. And I've got to get into it. I've got to know the reason why. I absolutely must know the reason why. And since all of you are the culprits, you are the criminals involved in this great crime and deception, you're the ones who are going to have to tell me why. Why? And I just have to know why. I've got to know why. I must have an answer. Why? What in the world causes you people to do some of the things that you do? And tonight, I didn't choose any music. I'm going to take it right off the 200 CD carousel. And while you're pondering that question and thinking about why do you do these things, when we get back from this short pause, I'll tell you what it is that I want to know why you do it. And I really do. I want to know why. It's driving me to distraction because I can see it happening all over again.
I'd love to roam out yonder, out where the buffalo wander, free as the eagle flying. I'm a roping and a tying, I'm a roping and a tying. Give me my ranch and my cattle, far from the great city's rattle. Give me a big herd to battle, for I just love herding cattle. I am no Rancho Grande, I out on Divinia. Happy you not Rancherita, que alegre me decía, que alegre me decía. Think for yourself, you shall go in. Como la chucha ranchero, de los cabos de cuero, de los cabos de cuero. I'd love to roam out yonder, out where the buffalo wander, free as the eagle flying. I'm roping and a tying.
Well, you see, there were no brave souls who dared call before I mentioned the subject of tonight's broadcast. Isn't that amazing? Well, America is not known today for brave souls. In fact, it's a nation of cowards. Somebody should have been on the phone saying, you know, whatever you're going to say, Bill, I've got something to say about it. But nobody did. So I'm going to tell you what it is. Throughout the history of this and every country of the world, there have always been people who have stood up on a soapbox or on the radio or on television or in a book or in print or in a magazine or in a pamphlet who said, tomorrow's doomsday. Tomorrow Jesus is coming. Tomorrow the world is going to end. Tomorrow all technology is going to cease to work because of Y2K. Tomorrow, all of the assembled armies of the Soviet Union are going to come storming across the Canadian and Mexican border and take over the United States of America. Ad nauseum. Ad nauseum. Now, these people have been saying these things forever since the beginning of time. And people have been listening to them and believing them and falling into their trap and wasting their energy and their money and their lives trying to counter these things and get ready for them, as if you could get ready for the end of the world. You can't get ready for that. What the hell's the matter with you? You know, And I am absolutely amazed that every time these liars and deceivers and false prophets and manipulators are exposed, you rationalize it. They rationalize it nowadays, in modern times on the air, and just keep right on going, predicting the next tremendous disaster. And you fall right into that too, and you never stop listening to them. One of the biggest is Brother Stare, one of the biggest liars, false prophets, deceivers, manipulators on the face of this earth, and the shortwave listening audience all around this world have sent him millions and millions and millions of dollars. Yet every single prophecy that he has ever made has turned out to be a lie, to be false. A false prophet, a liar, not a man of God, not the last day prophet of God, but one of the greatest deceivers that's ever lived. Another one is Alex Jones. Another one is Jackie Petru. Another one is James Bobo Gritz. I could go on and on and on and name these people. And if I'm lying, then sue me. Sue me. Because I'm not lying. And I can prove every single thing that I have said. And I'm sick of it. Absolutely sick of it. And there are tons more, hundreds more that I have not named that you all know who they are. I mean, we could spend the whole hour just naming these people. And yet you have not learned your lesson. You still listen to them. You still believe them. You still fall into their trap. You still think Jesus is coming tomorrow. Yet he was supposed to be here on midnight, December the 31st, 1999. He ain't here. The world was supposed to end December 31st, 1999. It didn't end. Y2K was supposed to shut down all technology all around the world. It was supposed to be the beginning of the worst episode of human history. It didn't happen. And I could go on and 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 on about all the bullshit and the lies and the deception and the misery that these people have heaped upon all of you, and you have bought it and you have eaten it and you have lived it and you have dreamed it and you have fallen into it and you have spent all of your money trying to protect yourself from it, and none of it has ever happened, and yet you still are listening to these liars and deceivers and clowns and manipulators. And agents of our enemies. I want to know why you do that. And don't tell me you don't, even though you are people in my audience listening to this broadcast, knowing that you never got any of that ever from this broadcast in the history of this broadcast. Why do you still listen to those people? And don't get me wrong, folks. When I say listen to everyone, read everything, believe absolutely no one unless you can prove it in your own research, it's predicated upon a couple of things. That you're not listening to someone who's been proven to be a liar over and over and over again. That you're not reading something written by someone who's been proven to be a liar over and over and over again. And that you actually perform some research in order to determine what you should or should not believe. I want to know why you are doing these things. It's driving me to distraction. And if you are the people that I am supposed to be representing, then maybe I'm in the wrong occupation. Because I got to tell you, if you're that stupid, I don't want to represent you. If you're that stupid, I don't want anything to do with you. If you're that stupid, I honestly and truthfully would rather not even be in the same country as you. If you want to know the truth. I mean, if you really, really want to know the truth, hey, that's the truth. You know what I mean? What are you, addicted to fantasy? You got to have your adrenaline rush? What the hell is wrong with you? What's going on? Because it's been proven that these people are liars. You know they're liars. And I know for a fact that most of the people who are listening to this broadcast today are still listening to them. Still passing out their rumors. Still giving them credence. Still falling into their lies and their deception. Who the hell are you? And why are you doing it? I want to know. 520-333-4578. I've got to know the answer to this. You don't have to tell me your name. And unless you do, nobody's ever going to know it. Nobody's going to know who you are or where you are. So feel free to call and tell me the truth. Why are you doing this? What's the matter with you? Where has your brain gone? Please call me. I mean, you don't have any problem calling them to spread the rumors, to spread the lies, and give your participation into the whole bullshit deception that's being worked on this country. I mean, you all are doing it. So why won't you call me and tell me what's it all about? And I don't know who you are. Unless you tell me specifically who you are and where you live, I have no idea whatsoever. And neither does anybody in the listening. So you're safe. You can do it. Please call me right now, 520-333-4578. Apparently, you must believe in all this bullshit, or you wouldn't be doing it. And if you believe in it, you must have some guts to back up your belief. So call me, 520-333-4578. Can you do that? Because I got to tell you right now, if nobody can do it, that's an admission that you're the biggest bunch of crap, bullshit, jerk-off, no-brain, absolute indication that the Illuminati may be right about the whole human race that's ever existed in the history of the world. And don't call me and say, well, because I listen to you, it's a proof that I don't listen to them. Bullshit. If you listen to shortwave, and if you listen to Patriot Broadcasting, I know that most of you listen to all those other clowns. And you know it, too. You know I'm right. You know I'm right because I'm very seldom wrong. And it's the truth. And I'll tell you something else. The fact that this phone is not ringing right now is an indication that I have hit it right on the head. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Bill?
Yeah.
Joe from Southern Connecticut, and I'm a big fan of yours for many, many years.
Hello, Joe.
And the first thing I want to do is be very polite.
Well, that's all you got to do is be polite and intelligent. That's all that it takes on this broadcast to get the ear of my listening audience.
I want to say that you're absolutely right what you're saying about those other broadcasters, if you want to call them broadcasters.
Well, they are broadcasters. Broadcaster means somebody who gets behind a microphone and sends out a message over the air. That's a broadcaster.
You know, Bill, I wanted to bring something up to you.
Well, how about answering my question first?
All right, go ahead.
Do you listen to these other people?
No, I don't.
You don't listen to any of them?
No, I got tired of Bo Grice because he was around Connecticut for quite a while with that case he was pursuing with that woman. And
That kept a lot of patriots circling around in cul-de-sacs for a while instead of pursuing the real solutions for this country, didn't it?
He had no solutions. He was just trying to get bigger and larger with his audience.
Yeah, to keep you spinning around in his little cul-de-sacs. You could not address the real problems of the country, much less even think about solving them.
Yeah, you know, you're so right. And I wanted to say something about a former friend of yours, if he's still a friend of yours, Craig Smith, Swiss America.
Yes, he is.
He had a one-hour interview about a year and a half ago on CNBC.
Uh-huh.
And I was totally amazed, opposite from when he was a sponsor of your program. And I just want to say that I was very disappointed in Craig Smith.
Well, you know, I've heard that from other people. But let me tell you something. Just like I can be friends with Jeffrey Dyckett in New Orleans because
yes.
we disagree,
I
can also be friends with Craig Smith. Craig Smith paid for the airtime for this broadcast for many years. Not only did he pay for the airtime of this broadcast, but he allowed me to make the commercials my own. And in those commercials, I told every single member of this listening audience not to ever buy collector coins, not to ever buy gold or silver coins based upon the fact that they might increase in value, but to buy them as a hedge against the total collapse of society when a gold or silver coin might save their life, might provide food for their family when nothing else would. Now, no other metal dealer would allow a broadcaster to do something like that because his job was to sell coins and make money at it.
That was my question, and you answered it for me. Thank you ever so much. I want to get off the line, and I want someone else to call. And believe me, WBCQ is a heaven sent to us in Southern Connecticut.
You better believe it. And say a little prayer for Alan Weiner and thank him because he's the one who made WBCQ possible. And believe me, you owe him much more than you think.
And I also want to give my thanks to Becker Broadcasting for making everything possible for you.
Well, thank you, because in the beginning, he is the one who is totally to blame for that.
Okay. Good night to you, and the best of luck forever.
Thank you so much for calling.
Goodbye.
520-333-4578 is the number. Why? Why? I want to know why. Come on, call me and tell me why. This is really getting down into my heart and soul. I want to know why do you do these things? Why, when you know that someone is a liar, do you continue to listen to them and give credence to what they say? Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello, Mr. Cooper. Glad to talk to you tonight. I listen to Tex Mars.
Yeah.
And I don't agree with his revelations or the end of the world thing, but most of the time, at least the stuff I've been able to check out, he's been right on the other issues, and that's why I listen to him.
Well, I'm not asking you why you listen to, you know, somebody that you found out is telling you the truth on something. I'm asking why do you listen to somebody? What I really want to hear from is the people who probably will never have the courage to call. Is the people who listen to people who lie to them, and they know they're lying to them because they've lied to them 3 or 4 or 5 times in the past. And they still listen to them and send them money and support them and go around and tell their neighbors what they said. That's what I want to know. It's driving me crazy.
I hope you find out, because I would like to know myself.
It's really driving, like Brother Stair. People send him millions of dollars. He's on the air everywhere. You know what airtime?
I can't believe that.
You know what airtime costs?
Yeah, and he's on all the time.
All the time, not just all the time, but everywhere on every frequency on almost every station. I know what airtime costs to be able to do that. Either people who are listening to him are sending him millions and millions of dollars, or else this guy is a plant getting money from somewhere else. But I don't believe that. I think people are actually sending him millions and millions of dollars. That's what I think. I believe it.
Yeah, you're probably right. I find it very hard to believe because I've listened to him a few times and he just sounds so
off
the wall. I can't, especially when he says he's the last day prophet.
And, yeah. Well,
that's a thing to say. If you know, you're never supposed to be wrong.
Well, I don't find it hard to believe at all. Maybe I'll do an experiment someday, and just go on the air and become this great prophet of God, and ask everybody to send me millions of dollars. And after the experiment's over, of course, we would send every donation back to the person who sent it to us. But be able to find out how it worked and how many people send us money and how much money we actually got. It would be very hard for me to do that because I'm not a deceiver, and I would have to deceive a lot of people to be able to do that. And on second thought, I probably wouldn't be able to do it.
Yeah,
but
I'd find that hard for you to do.
Yeah, it would be very hard for me to do. But, you know, if I honestly believed in my heart that it would wake people up and teach them something and they wouldn't fall for it again, I might do it. Yeah. But only for that reason.
That might be worthy of doing something like that. Okay, Mr. Cooper, let me let you go and you maybe get someone to answer your question.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
520-333-4578. Why? I want to know why. Come on. Some of you people are participating in this crap. If you really believe in what you believe in, come on, call. Argue your point. Present an argument for why you do it. Good evening. You're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. This is David calling from Rhode Island.
Hi, David.
This call is taking a lot. Yeah, this is taking a lot. I admit that I listen to and believe, not in totality, but quite a bit of what Brother Stair said.
Okay, then you're an honest man, and you've got a lot of good. I want to tell the listening audience right now that it took a lot of courage for this man to call in light of what I said before, and he's a brave man. He's an honest man, and now maybe we can get some answers. So please tell us, why do you listen to this guy when he's been proven to be wrong so many times? How can you believe he's the last day prophet of God? Because a prophet of God cannot ever be wrong.
What you just said was true on the issue, right, of the coming of Jesus as he,
No. That's not what a prophet of God does. A prophet of God may only prophesy that the kingdom is going to be burned. May not have anything to do with the return of the Messiah. A prophet is never wrong. I'm not trying to browbeat you. What I want you to do now, and I'm not going to interrupt you, is I'm going to give you about 2 minutes or 3 minutes to explain to me and our listening audience, why do you keep listening to this guy and believing him, even though you know he's been so wrong in the past?
Well, I've looked at some of the writings in the Bible. I agree that they're hard to decipher. You have to have a reliance of faith on somebody. And so I have some reliance of faith on him. And although he may have made some false prophets, it's possible that those false prophets are in the design of God, that he has said back in the beginning that he is going to fool people. And he's going to tell man things that he won't believe. Now, one of the best ways to set someone up, in my opinion, possibly, is like the boy who cried wolf. Okay, well, Brother Sayer has made 3 or 4 predictions and they haven't come true. Ah, forget about him. He's crazy. You know, maybe that's what they said about Noah. And then the one time that he was right was when there was a lot of water. So what I'm saying is that I believe there's a possibility. And because, I mean, obviously, Based on what you said, yes, he probably receives a lot of money to stay on the air. I believe that it's possible that he could be right when the time comes when man least expects it, as is God's plan, as I understand it. That's why. And I appreciate you letting me say that.
Well, I like to say it. I like to say it because you had the guts, you had the balls, if you will, and the politeness to come on and say it.
Well, I appreciate that. That's nice of you to say, because I'm a new listener, relatively obviously, to your audience, especially the veterans, or especially the one that sent you the letter tonight. And it's hard to explain the thoughts that go on in my head as far as the changing in how I'm thinking. But you're right. I didn't, you know, who wants, especially if you like a program or you like somebody, who wants to call and have a confrontation? It's just that obviously the scriptures and Brother Stair and people like that rely on faith. And I obviously know that the cost of airtime must be astronomical around the world because it's all over.
It is. And all religion relies upon faith. That's the difference between religion and science. Religion is based upon faith. Science is based upon repeatable experiments. Which become called facts.
I like listening to your program because I've got a chance to call before, and I like calling and reminding you that it's awesome when you challenge callers and, you know, either say, well, if you don't have proof, then don't talk about it.
That's right.
That's all. And I practice that a little bit every day in my life. Not a lot, just a little, because it isn't easy.
Well, thank you.
As soon as you say something that's true, people look at you like you have three heads. They're like, oh,
let's
go say that.
Thanks for calling.
I appreciate it. Bye, Bill.
And thanks for having the guts to call.
Thanks for the program, Bill.
You're welcome.
Good night.
Now, you see, that's a refreshing change. See, most people, when challenged like that, would call with name-calling and vehemence and telling me I'm going to go to hell and all this kind of crap. But he didn't do that. You see, he was polite, he was intelligent, and he had guts. And I respect that. I respect mainly the guts. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Bill.
Hi.
There's another point to be made here. You know, I listened to, for example, Alex Jones.
Uh-huh.
And I long assumed that Alex Jones was an agent provocateur.
No doubt about it. But I don't want anybody to take my word for that.
Right. And so, but I continue to listen to him well beyond the point where I had confirmed that to myself sufficiently. Still, he's in the question box, but there's other paper in there that is so loaded down that, and the point I want to make is that the question is, why do I waste my time continuing to listen to him beyond the point that I've made the judgment for myself that he's a fraud?
Yeah, that's what bothers me. What's going on there?
Well, the point that I'd like to make is that, you know,
You see, I'm not telling you not to listen to him. I would never do that. I believe in freedom. I believe in free speech. What I want to know is, why, when you know the guy has lied so much, are you still listening to him?
Well, the point is, I guess what I want to make is, why am I not constructively engaged in doing something about the problem instead of spending my time listening to him?
Well, that's another question, but that's not the topic of tonight's broadcast. What I want to know is, why are you still listening when you know and you've just admitted that the guy's full of crap?
Well, I'm telling you, and it's not a pretty thing. I'm here to tell you.
Okay, I'm going to shut up and I'm going to listen to what you got to say.
And the point I'm making is that in my heart of hearts, I know that I'm wasting my time listening to this guy when I either ought to be going to bed and getting up bright and early and doing something constructive. And it's a human failing of otherwise wasting time.
No, I don't buy that. It's like saying the devil made me do it. It's not a human failing. It's your failing. Why are you doing it? Don't say it's a human failing. Why are you doing it? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, it becomes a vicarious thrill, and it's, you know, I mean, I could be wasting my time watching a sports game.
That's a cop out. You could be doing some very constructive things.
No, what I meant is there's really no difference in me listening to Alex Jones or watching a Knicks basketball game.
That's true. But what I want to know is, why are you doing it? You haven't told us that yet. You keep saying it's no different from this, or it's no different from that, or it's a human failing, or the devil made me do it. Bullshit. What I want to know is, why are you doing it? And I'm not trying to make you feel bad. I really want to know in my heart. It's bothering me.
Yeah, I can offer up some thinking on that. Feeling somewhat isolated and having time on my hands that I can't otherwise see my way to being constructive with to do something about problems that I'm concerned about, I can fritter away time foolishly.
So it's a substitute for action.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. I can understand that. Why do you say that in the first place?
I don't know if that hits
you. You see, we're not out to condemn you or make you into some terrible demon. I just want to know why.
Yeah,
and I think you should know why. And I think once you know why, maybe you can start doing something about improving on that habit.
I understand. And that's why I called up, because I'm sure that there are others out there like me. And, you know, I'd encourage them and I'd encourage myself to drop it once you've made the judgment move.
In other words, I feel helpless. But if I listen to Alex Jones, he's going to save the world, and I feel like I'm a part of it, and I'm doing something, even though I know he's full of crap.
No,
you know, this gives me some kind of a feeling that I'm a part of it all.
The latter part is more accurate.
Well, sure, but it had to depend upon the previous part.
No, I have no illusions that he's going to do anything but cause trouble and harm.
Well, that's exactly what he's doing. He is causing trouble and harm, and he is, in the long run, discrediting anyone who stands up and believes in freedom, the Constitution, fact, a legitimate conspiracy theory, which is based upon fact, which can be proven, all of those things. His mission is to totally discredit all of us.
Absolutely. I'm quite confident that his handlers are the same handlers of Colonel Bogrets.
Yeah.
Bogrets.
It's Bobo Grits.
Bobo.
Yeah. Yeah, because he's got to be a Bobo to think that we're so stupid to fall for his trap.
Absolutely.
And from where, you know, where I come from, down south, he's going to be Grits, you know.
I hope somebody in his town is giving him a proctological examination.
Well, he used to belong to a little community up in the Northwest that he sort of founded and sold everybody a plot of land, which they found out they paid money for, but they didn't own, was actually owned by a trust controlled by Bobo Grits. And one day they went over and just shot his house full of holes. There were so many bullet holes in his house that he never went back.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
I was speaking more about Alex Jones. I hope somebody in Austin is checking into his affairs.
Are you kidding? Austin is extreme left-wing Marxist city.
Yeah.
You can't get any more Marxist than Austin, Texas.
Yeah, but there's some solid citizens there.
Yeah, but listen to me very carefully. Alex Jones supposedly represents the right wing. Now, if he really represents the right wing, and if he's really the enemy of Marxist socialism that he pretends to be, how come those good citizens of Austin, Texas, haven't destroyed him already?
Because they're letting him do what he's doing.
That's exactly right, because he does it well, and he discredits their enemies and enables them to control the state of Texas and much of the United States of America within his listening audience.
Like Mr. Hightower.
Yeah.
Hi, sir.
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome.
Very much. Thank you for your honesty, too. I really appreciate honesty, and I appreciate balls. Those of you who've been listening to this broadcast for many years, you know that. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hiya, Bill. It's Steve up here in Michigan.
Hi, Steve.
And sometimes during the day, of course, we tune in to both Alex Jones, if the transmission is cleared, as well as fall back on Rush Limbaugh. And the rationale is the exact same thing, to see if they get any part of it right whatsoever.
Yeah, well, Rush is another one. Excellence in broadcasting my ass.
Really? Look at where he's at, where he had to rush from.
Yeah.
There is a bright spot, though. Incredibly enough, Alex Jones's show last Friday, I got back from partying and turned it on, and he had just started up with 3 hours of Sherman Skolnick.
Oh, my God, one of the most incredible disinformation bullshit artists that's ever lived.
And, I thought it was very, very interesting.
Yeah, well, maybe interesting, but Sherman Skolnick is as full of crap as they come.
I guess that means why they probably had him on, but it was definitely, again, good entertainment. But most of that stuff is, of course, a parody of real life, and when you're sitting there during the day working away, anything is better than six more hours of hip-hop, Bill.
Well, I'm not so sure that that's true. If you really, if you really listen to the lyrics of hip-hop, you'll find out that the black youth know more about what's happening in this country than you think they do. And in their music, they're educating their young like white Americans are not doing. And I want to tell you something else about all of this. If you really want to know what Sherman Skolnick has to say, find a toilet that's stopped up and overflowing, and you get the gist of the whole damn thing.
Yeah, that's what hip-hop is all about. It's modern ballading, which is basically how the information was carried before it was written down.
That's so, exactly what it is.
Okay, so, Bill, I'll get off here and carry on, sir.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. Sherman Skolnick, are you kidding me? He's the guy that said that, the guy that was killed during the Clinton administration was killed by Mickey and Goofy infiltrating the White House. Good evening, you're on the air.
Good evening, Bill. Carmine from Pennsylvania.
All right, I'm trying to do the rap thing. Carmine.
Okay. Yeah, it's a mine. Okay. I think, first of all, I don't listen to Bo the Stare. I stopped listening to Bo Grice when he told everybody to start selling their weapons and buy fax machines.
He really did that?
Yeah, I swear to God.
Oh, I missed that. If I'd have known that, I'd have done shows forever on that.
Well,
yeah, you're kidding me.
And then he also, remember, he shot himself in the chest with a fraction of a load with a 45.
Yeah, he did that on purpose. You ever hear of a 45 bouncing off a rib?
If it's the rib is like maybe a half a mile away.
Yeah, about a half a mile, but it was like 3 inches away because he was committing suicide, remember? Going to shoot himself in the heart. He put the barrel right over his heart from about 3 inches, pulled the trigger, and the bullet bounced off his rib?
That's according to his testimony.
Well, no, that's according to, you know, the doctors. Bullet bounced off his rib.
Oh, that part I understand, yes.
Yeah.
The reason I listen to other things...
That bounced off his rib because he's a reloader. And when he made that round, he put just a little tiny bit of powder on top of the primer so it'd bounce off his rib.
Well, that's why.
And then he laid down the road and pretended like he was mortally wounded. You know what? If a bullet bounces off your rib, you're not wounded. You're not passed out. You're not unconscious. You're not rendered incapable of... His rib wasn't even broken. I mean, he could breathe normally, move his arms, everything. The man is a liar. He's one of the biggest liars that's ever lived. I've said it for years on the air, and he's never sued me. Why do you think he's never sued me, but he's sued other people? Because he is a liar. And I'm the only one that can prove it. Everybody else that calls him a liar doesn't know how to prove it. So he can sue them and get away with it, but he can't sue me because he can't get away with it. He's a liar.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, my main reason, since the 60s, I've been listening like Radio Pravda, things like that.
Yeah.
Getting a different spin on news stories and all that. And I have a news hunger.
You got to hurry up because we're out of time.
Okay, well, I'm trying to glean whatever information I can get out of whatever I can. And if I happen to listen to Alex Jones one day, hey, I love when he imitates the Russian speaking. I get a laugh out of it. I must admit, I get a rise. I get a laugh out of it.
Hey, if you understand that it's humor, and if you understand that he's full of crap, if you understand that he's a liar, and that most of the things that he ever says is just a bunch of crap bullshit that's designed to get you up into some hyper state in order to cause problems in this country, and you know that he's just a funny clown and you're laughing at him, hey, that's all right, man, because I do the same thing with him and Rush Limbaugh and a whole bunch of other guys. That's all right. I got to let you go because we're out of time.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, man. Ain't it funny, though, when they do that? I mean, everybody will listen to them in the direct medium that they're really presenting, which is comedy. And if everybody understood that, man, we'd all have a damn good laugh. But you know what? People are mostly too stupid to recognize comedy when they hear it. Good night, folks. God bless each and every single one of you. I love you all. And if I didn't, I couldn't do this broadcast. Good night, Annie, Clue, and Allison. Good night, Linda. Good night, Doyle. Good night, Ken. Good night, Bart. Good night, Janelle. Good night, Jessica. Good night, everybody in my life that I love and have ever loved. Good night, Eva. You know, all of you, just Nolan and your whole family. You know, you're the people. You're the reason. You really are. And there's some other people I didn't mention whom I don't have to mention because they know how much I love them. And they always will know that because I will always love them more than you will ever know.
I could while away the hours, conferring with the flowers, consulting with the rain. And my head, I'd be scratching while my thoughts were busy hacking if I only had a brain. I'd unravel every riddle for any individual in trouble or in pain.
With the thoughts you'd be thinking, you could be an observation if you only had a brain.
Oh, I can tell you why the ocean's near the shore. I could think of things I never felt before, and I never felt before. And then I'd sit and think some more. I would not be just a number, my head all full of stuffing, my heart all full of pain. I would dance and be merry, life would be a king of dairy if I only had a brain.
Wonderful! Why, if our scarecrow back in Kansas could do that, the clothes would be scared to pieces.
They would? Where's Kansas?
That's where I live. And I want to get back there so badly, I'm going all the way to Emerald City to get the Wizard of Oz to help me.
You're going to see a wizard?
Well, that old CD machine did it again. So that's it, folks. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow night.
Why can't we go right on dreaming? This is all so nice.